The scripture today is from Romans and from Philippians. So, brothers and sisters, because of God's mercies, I encourage you to present your body as a living sacrifice that is holy and pleasing to God. This is your appropriate priestly service. Don't be conformed to the patterns of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your minds so that you can figure out what God's will is, what is good and pleasing and mature. Therefore, if there is any encouragement in Christ, any comfort in love, any sharing in the Spirit, any sympathy, complete my joy by thinking the same way, having the same love, being united and agreeing with each other. Don't do anything for selfish purposes, but with humility think of others as better than yourselves. Instead of each person watching out for their own good, watch out for what is better for others. Adopt the attitude that was in Christ Jesus. Though he was in the form of God, he did not consider being equal with God something to exploit. But he emptied himself by taking the form of a slave and by becoming like human beings. When he found himself in the form of a human, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on the cross. For the word of God in Scripture, for the word of God among us, for the word of God within us. Thanks be to God.
Good morning, and welcome to the third installment of our sermon series, Thorny Theological Themes. And today it feels particularly thorny. Our words for today are surrender and emptying. Yikes. These are not particularly positive words in our culture. To surrender for us implies giving up, admitting defeat, failure, sacrifice of everything. Empty implies there is nothing there, nothing in the gift box, nothing in the grocery bag, nothing in the gas tank. Why would we want to surrender, to give up, to sacrifice? Why would we want to be satisfied with having nothing? Now, I grew up with the text that Kathy just read for us. Maybe some of you all did too. And with the words, give your life as a sacrifice for Jesus, empty yourself of yourself for God as Jesus did. And as I was a young adult, coupled with all the Be Saved sermons I had heard and the I Surrender All hymns I had sung, the words sacrifice, surrender, and empty were full of conflicting emotions. I genuinely wanted to be a good Christian to follow Jesus, but I also wanted to live my life with my gifts and joys and passions. And were these bad things? As a young adult, and even in my later adulthood, these passages for me had all the makings of what I now call doormat, or what a wretch am I theology. I am nothing unless I discover and follow exactly what God wants me to be, which couldn't possibly be what I want to be, since I'm only a sinner. My hopes and dreams couldn't be the right thing, could they? I wrestled with these questions. I was deathly afraid that God's ways, God's will, would be drudgery and invisibility and second stream. Now, that voice was not really coming from God. That voice was coming from culture as much as it was from theology or church. Though, of course, we know theology and church are bound up with culture. For women, when I was growing up in the 60s and 70s, things were beginning to happen, but they were still second string as human beings. Support staff for men, at least in the culture I grew up in. People of color were also implicitly second string at best. Same with poor folks of any color. LGBTQ people in the culture I grew up in were totally invisible. And to each of these groups, the message of surrender, empty yourselves of who you are, is not good news. If you are also getting the message that you are less than. Thank God, since my childhood, there have been activists and theological movements leading us out of closets of oppression and into liberation. Joyfully, we here, particularly in this beloved community, proclaim that we are all equally beloved children of God, each with unique divine gifts and graces, regardless of gender, race, sexual orientation, or class. We have made great progress, and the resistance movements of God's liberation continue. And we still have a ways to go, and many of you have been and still are on the front line. Somewhere along the line in my life, struggling with the messages of culture and scripture and church, I finally discovered a paradox that was life-giving. To be full of who I am in God's image, I actually had to be empty. To sacrifice or surrender or offer my life to God, I had to first know that I had a life full of gifts and graces uniquely given to me by God, and that I was one of God's beloveds. To be full, empty. To be empty, full. It's a paradox. How could that be? There's a story of a famous Zen master, Zen Buddhist master, that had a visitor. Now, sometimes the story says it was a student, and sometimes the story says it was another master. But some say, and I think this is appropriate for this particular congregation, some say it was a university professor. While the famous master quietly served tea, the professor talked about Zen. The master poured the visitor's cup to the brim and then kept pouring. The professor watched the overflowing cup until he could no longer restrain himself. It's full, it's dripping into the saucer, no more will go in, the professor blurted out. And the master replied, "This is you. How can I show you Zen unless you first empty your cup?" Now, can you imagine what might have happened next? The professor could have walked out in a huff and claimed the famous Zen master was an old coot, a fraud. The professor could have spluttered with anger and begun to argue with the master, telling the master that this was a ridiculous metaphor. And why not open the lesson with a treatise on compassion instead? That would be really worthwhile. Or perhaps the professor had the grace to blush, to be suddenly silent and thoughtful, to get a tea towel and clean up the mess, and then to sit and wait. thoughts churning, perhaps, emotions churning, but to keep silent, to breathe, to listen. After a time, the master may have poured the cold tea from the cups, brewed another pot, and perhaps then the teaching could have begun in earnest. Grace in action. Life has taught me to empty my cup. Particularly when it comes to scripture texts that hold the baggage of a lifetime. What I didn't hear or understand in these texts way back when was their crucial and life-giving wisdom. In the letter to the church in Rome, Paul gives the church instructions about new life under the lordship, under the ways of God through Jesus, rather than the lordship and the ways, lordship of Caesar and the ways of false power in the empire. Paul instructs the people to structure their lives through God's grace. Imagine that. Grace. The power of God's unconditional love that Hal invited us to consider last week in this series. Paul says, because of God's grace, God's mercies, you can present yourselves, your bodies, your whole lives as living sacrifices for God. Not burnt up dead sacrifices, but living offerings. Present your vital, passionate, gifted life, ready to live under the structure of God's grace in the midst of all the joys and challenges. And this is your appropriate priestly service, writes Paul. Knowing that in Christ Jesus, we are priests to one another. Each and every one of us under God's grace, women and men, slave and free, Gentile, Jew, Muslim, no matter our race or sexual orientation or gender identity or social class, we are priests to one another. We receive God's revelation for ourselves and collectively as the community of God. And therefore, we do not need to be poured into the mold of the world's values. Greed, scarcity mentality, fear of the other, intolerance of difference, power over to get control. We can be transformed, changed, through grace and empowered into God's will for our lives. We can be transformed into what is good and pleasing and mature. Empowered by grace to grow into all who we were made to be in God's image, individually and collectively. Giving our all to God through Jesus, who gave his all to God. And I think, my friends, that the world needs us as living offerings in this way, in a big way, right now. The world needs us to create the structures of God's grace. In the letter to the church in Philippi, Paul leads us further in understanding how to be a living sacrifice under the living structure of God's grace. Paul writes, therefore, if there is any encouragement in Christ, any comfort in love, any sharing of the Spirit, any sympathy, complete my joy by thinking this same way, having the same love, being united, agreeing with one another. Don't do anything for selfish purposes, but with humility think of others as better than yourselves. Instead of each person watching out for their own good, watch out for what is better for others. Then adopt the attitude that was in Christ Jesus, which of course is the attitude that he's just described. Or in another translation, put on the mind of Christ. Jesus became human. He emptied himself into this human incarnation, made himself fully available to God in order to be filled and used by God, to live God's grace. An empty cup waiting to be filled with God's grace that could then overflow into the world. Now, here is the seemingly dangerous part. The leap of faith to empty ourselves of the ways we are conformed to in this world means looking inward. The leap of faith is to look within at all the fear or greed or consumerism or possessiveness or scarcity thinking or suspicion or even hatred of the other, the anger, the hurt, the wounds, all those things that may be in our lives. I used to be afraid to be truly quiet and to go inside. I was afraid that I would find nothing there. A void. No one home. Or at the least, I would find that it was full of fear and self-recrimination. When I finally took the time to be in solitude and quiet, to intentionally go within, even for just a few minutes each day, I found that in what I thought was empty was the presence of love, the presence of God. Love first for family, friends, and congregation, the one that I was serving then, and then now when I do it, of course, this one. But then, increasingly, I found love and forgiveness for myself. If you take the leap of faith to empty yourself in solitude and silence and prayer, to intentionally seek to let go with the help of all your senses in the body, the energies of neediness, of fear, of not having or being enough, of anger, of greed, of false pride, you've got the unhealthy list that lives inside of you. If you take the leap of faith to do this, and you name these things that consume you, if you empty yourselves of these things, will you be filled? Will you even survive? If you come with an empty cup to learn from God's ways of structuring the world through grace, will you really be transformed, changed? Yes, my friends, you will. God wants to fill you with grace and love. In fact, God has already put these things inside of you. You only have to look within. You have to let go and empty yourself with God's help. And then God will show you who you really are and what amazing gifts you are filled with and how you are to use them. So, suppose we take this leap of faith individually and collectively as community. Suppose we give our lives as living sacrifices, offerings, as Jesus did, And then the world comes back at us with fear and hatred and persecution and oppression. What then? What if life happens? We lose a job, a marriage, a child, a beloved parent or friend. We receive a diagnosis that is not so good. What then? We may feel emptied to the point of nothingness, all strength, emptied of all strength to keep on keeping on. What then? I can tell you, my friends, that then God's grace, God's Holy Spirit, will fill our cups with grace, which also brings love and courage and justice and strength and compassion. And we will be able to respond to our lives, to the world, with a cup full of the gifts of grace, overflowing. And we will withstand the onslaught, even in the midst of pain and grief. We will have life. And so I encourage you to practice emptying, so you may be filled. Empty, so that you too can be so full. Amen.